Hey, Lauren.
Hi, Bobby.
Hello.
Hello.
You know what's creepy?
What?
Rest.
I was going to say everything.
Yes.
That's the end of the podcast. Bye. remember.
Including restaurants.
In essence, you're having a stranger make food for you in a facility that you don't know, like, what kind of ingredients they're actually using, how clean it is, how... I don't know if the person making your meal is sick or not. If any blood gets into anything, like, you don't know.
Sicknesses, diseases.
Going to a restaurant is a very trusting exercise.
It really is. And after talking with my friend Sean, aka Olaf, my trust for restaurants has gone down.
Oh, I forgot you've never worked at a restaurant.
I have never worked at a restaurant. It was not for me.
If you work at a restaurant, I think you already know that you should not trust restaurants fully.
Yeah, I think
when you go to a restaurant, you just need to kind of let it go and just accept whatever's going to happen.
Yeah. I think something else that I've come to learn over the years is it's like, I know my dad said this, like, he'll get like angry or upset when like he goes to like Taco Bell, like a fast food place, and they're like,
how could you get
mess up the order? And I started thinking, and I don't know if he said it or I heard it somewhere else, but you got to realize, like, these are people working mostly minimum wage jobs. They don't want to be there.
Yeah, I don't ever majority get angry of the time. At a fast food employee or even a restaurant employee for the most part. Yeah. Like, I don't get mad at anybody, actually. Let me just be clear. It takes a lot for me to actually.
But I've started to be more like conscious of that. Like, when I'm out eating and something happens that is relatively reasonable or easily fixable, I just am very calm and nice, and I've learned to just, you know, let it go. Now, when you're waiting over an hour for your food at a very nice restaurant that you've been to for the first time, you can be a little upset.
Oh, are you talking about when we went with your parents?
With my parents at one time? That was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was bad.
In that case, it would be nice if they just come in, hey, sorry, we're really backed up at like the 25-minute mark.
Yeah.
But I understand sometimes you don't realize it, but hey, we're really backed up. We'd like to offer you a round of drinks, whatever it may be. Completely reasonable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough business. I definitely did not want to work in that business.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It is very tough, but I liked it because I like fast-paced things.
I think I tried out to be like a waiter or busboy at this restaurant in my hometown.
I didn't make it.
Literally, I think I tried it for a day with my friend and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
I love it. I even play... I forget if we've talked about this, but I love playing food prep games. I don't know why. I like knowing, like, somebody telling me what I have to assemble and then assembling it and giving it to them. being a waitress, that was my favorite customer service, like, job. Like, I'm not talking about the people dealing. Like, dealing, if the people were not involved whatsoever, like, if I could wait on people and... I don't know, not have to have conversations with them. That would be the perfect.
Just be a robot. Here's your food.
Yes. Like, if I could literally go to the table, there was no emotion and they were like, hi, we would like this, this, and this. I'd be like, yes. And I could go get it and give it to them.
Yep.
Transaction over. Like, that would be my perfect job. I love, assemble. Like, I liked when you had a good customer, it was good.
Yeah.
Everything's very straightforward. It's like, oh, you want this? I will go get that. Do you want this? I will go get that.
There's a lot of facets to the dining experience that can muck it all up a lot.
Yeah. But it's also interesting how there's different. I mean, there's so many aspects of this topic.
Yeah.
Because there's like the fast food restaurants and then there's like mid-tier restaurants or slightly higher tier restaurants. And then there's like fine dining.
Yep.
That's almost like art restaurants, which we will talk about because we have experience with that as well. I guess each tier you go to, you kind of expect the higher, obviously,
level of service.
Service, cleanliness, quality of food.
Sure.
That's why when I go to a fast food place, I'm expecting to just get something that is going to sustain
me. As long as my food is edible.
And not going to make me sick.
And I have my order correct. I'm happy. And if it's not correct, then you just, you know, hey, it's the wrong thing. Well, what we got to do is if you're getting food from a drive-thru, pull into a parking spot, especially if it's a lot of food that you can't like quickly check. Pull into a parking spot, check the bag, make sure everything's in there, and then go home. Don't get home like, oh, they forgot my fries.
Well, that's like my, I think my favorite person to ever order at fast food was my grandmother, because she count, like, obviously my grandmother comes from a generation where fast food wasn't like as fast.
Yeah.
Like it was more of a, like everything was just a bit slower paced back then. But like now she would, when she would go, when she was alive, she would go there. We would go with her and she would like ask the girl questions. She'd be like,
what's your favorite thing?
Yes, like that. Or she'd be like, can I get this burger? But can you like not put this on it? And then can you add this? Which like you can do, but the way she went about it was just, it was
out of
like,
place.
It was out of place and it slowed everything down. So they were probably like, lady.
Lady, you're at McDonald's.
You're at McDonald's. Stop asking questions as if you're at a restaurant, like a legitimate restaurant.
I'd like to substitute this for this, which I get if, you know, you have your specific thing in mind, but yeah, you just got to lower your expectations.
That's why I love online ordering now, because I like having like a visual representation where everything is written down. And I know that you have seen what I asked for and it's up to you to like,
there can certainly
remember what. Or not even remember. Like, you can look at it and be like, oh, okay, you wanted these specific things.
Yeah, you can be specific, and it's easy for them to understand because it's there, printed out. Yeah. If they mess up, which, you know, can happen and has happened when we've ordered food, but, you know.
I love it.
For the most part, well, it's good now is, like, if you order through Grubhub and it's like, oh, they forgot something, you just go in the app and the app will just refund you.
Yeah, having also worked in the restaurant industry, I can tell you, food inspection situation. So like, you know, every restaurant gets a grade based on how clean it is. That's all bull.
Oh yeah.
We knew when the health inspector was coming and everybody was like on their,
their A game
because the managers would come around and be like, inspector's coming. The only thing they'll be like, the inspector won't tell you what time they're coming, but they'll tell you what day. So you could like prepare for it in advance. We were the cleanest, most high functioning. But when a food inspector was not coming, none of those things were being done. Yeah. I won't shout out where I worked just to like save face with that. But I will say it was a very popular chain restaurant.
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan.
Times Square. didn't belong there.
Well, stop giving so many specifics.
I shouldn't say that.
It's fine. It did belong.
It works for some people. I'm sorry. But if you go to New York City and you eat at a chain restaurant, you're silly.
What if you live there?
You're even sillier. Because you know the local good spots. You shouldn't be going to a chain restaurant that you can get anywhere.
I never understood that. Some of my friends would be like, let's go to Olive Garden. Yeah. I'm like, why? And it's like three times more expensive than going anywhere
New York City
else
is
to that chain.
Arguably one of the greatest food places in the world. There is so much good food there and so much variety that if you go to a chain restaurant, I understand even still from a financial aspect, but still like,
well,
there's so many.
Funny, the misconception, if anybody else also has this misconception, because I worked at a chain restaurant in Times Square, people would come and then complain that the prices were more expensive than like their local chain of the same restaurant. And I'm like, and so they were coming to the chain restaurant in Times Square, believing that it would be cheaper than going anywhere else in the city. And it's like, no, everywhere in the city is overpriced.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter. And now you just got stuck with chain food. Probably for more, that's more expensive than you going to like.
You could have got a dollar awesome slice of pizza.
That was probably way more.
That was much better. Oh, man.
But we had that. I also learned that for the food and the food administration, I think you could at least in New York City, you could have they could see at least two cockroaches and you would still be fine. But if they saw a third cockroach, then that was taking you down a letter grade. And I think the same was for mice or rats.
Oh my goodness.
So
I mean,
fun
in
fact,
the city,
New York City restaurants are allowed to have a certain amount.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess to be fair, maybe you can't, they're everywhere.
It's almost
like
inevitable.
We had
Unless
apartments
you're
in the city. And
super
they
vigilant about it.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to
yeah and
keep
you're
up with.
You're in a place that has food
yeah
in a or like in a place where that's the only way for these animals to get food is through garbage and like restaurants, because there's no wildlife or anything.
I think the most important thing for me is like food. If I'm going somewhere, is like just food quality, making sure it's not like old, spoiled, especially watching all those like Gordon Ramsay Hell's Kitchen things.
Oh my God.
And you just see some of like the fridges and freezers and just the quality of food. You're just like,
it is funny though. A lot of times people watch those shows and they think they're fake. And I'm like, I guarantee you they are not.
Yeah.
They might over dramatize some things. For sure. But there, if you're running a restaurant, and there's people who run restaurants who are just people like me and you, could open a restaurant and then be like, oh yeah, we forgot to like clean out the fridge. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's like any other place. They don't have, and if, like I said, if they are being clear, if you think that the Food Inspection Administration is saving you, it's not, because people know when they're coming so they can be on their A game that one day that person's there. So you just got to pray that you're also one of the diners on that one day that the food inspector is supposed to come.
Yeah.
I can't. That's why when I do see a lower letter grade, I'm like, what did you do? You knew they were. Oh, and then there was one time. So we failed the food inspection one time. And they still don't, like, they don't say anything. They just like change your letter grade to like inspection pending, and they give you like a second chance. So even if you fail it, nobody will know unless you fail it.
So if
twice.
You get a letter grade or you fail it, you are just being like, you're doing super it on purpose. Negligent. That's the word, negligent.
Purposely negligent.
Yeah.
So that's why anything that has like below an A food grade, I'm just like, there's, yeah. No.
I do feel
what
like
what did you do?
Like, to defend restaurants, I do feel like it's a very hard business to run successfully and make money. Is that my friend who's now he's not a chef. He's like the, what does he do? He's like the ordering person. What does he do?
Who?
Sean.
Olaf. He's a purchaser? No. No, I thought he was the head.
He might be the head chef. I don't know what he does. But or like he's not
I don't
like
know
a,
what he does.
But his dad was a chef, and he always said, don't go into this business. It sucks. It's so hard. The time. Well, and now he's doing it.
I know like the divorce rate is very high for people who have jobs in the food industry because of the hour. I'll tell you why, because I worked in it. The kitchen staff is usually not to generalize, but is usually a little bit of a rough bunch. Like,
yeah, I've seen that. Usually.
I mean, everybody I worked with was lovely. Like, the kitchen staff was great, but they were definitely a rougher bunch of people. Also, your hours are crazy. You're maybe
That's
working
what I don't get
until
them.
Like,
why?
So most, because the most money you're going to make is the dinner shift. So everybody wants the dinner shift, but that also means you're going to be working till super late. And a lot of the times people will then want to go out. Like, it's just that culture. It's like, because everybody's closing together, you're all ending work at the same time. And it's usually like midnight and people are like, oh, let's go get drinks like for an hour or two. So it's that culture that also isn't good for like relationships because, your busiest times are holidays, weekends, nights. So like that's the time.
It doesn't work well.
Yeah. But there's no real way around it because everybody else wants to go to restaurants when they're off work. So you're working when everybody else is not working, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why it kind of worked for me in college because, I also didn't get the dinner shift a lot because that was like the career people. They would like not let us newer people. We had the breakfast and lunch shift because that's where you made less money.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about tipping?
Oh yeah, I hate tipping.
Can I talk about it?
Sure.
I hate tipping.
I don't think anybody likes tipping.
I think it is a terrible thing that we need to get rid of. Pay people a good wage, and if people in the UK, how they do it,
that was
perfect.
Yeah,
they make their money, and if you want a tip for exceptional service, you can give them a small tip. But you're not having people have to live off tips is terrible.
You know why they do it though? Well, it offsets the cost from the restaurant to the consumer. It's the only reason.
What do you mean?
So like, instead of the restaurants paying out more so that their employees can get a livable wage, they outsource it to the patrons, the people that are going.
So you're saying instead of raising the price for the food so that they can pay for...
Yes, that too. So they'll say, well, not even that. Like, they have to give more of their profits to their employees, which they don't want to do, or raise their prices. But like UK restaurants do it.
Yeah, if it works there, why can't it work here?
Yeah, I hate tipping. I also hate the mentality because a lot of people will say, well, tipping is so that everybody works hard. Because if you're not, like, if everybody's getting the same amount of money or a same, like, I don't believe in shared tipping. There is, like, systems with some restaurants where all of the tips generated from that day go into a pool and then everybody gets it equally. I don't like that because you could be working.
Then it's like the same as just getting regular payment.
Yes, but you're it's still being delegated by your customer base and how much they like you. But you could have one worker that's like barely doing anything and gets the same amount as somebody that's like busting their ass to like do a good job. So either everybody needs to get like a set, a living wage.
Yeah.
Salary, and then you, if you want to go above and beyond and like really go, I don't even know what you would need to do, and then maybe get a few extra dollars, then that's fine. But at least like, so the problem with it, and we have a story recently about this, but like when I was working, you obviously have to deal with like people who stiff you or dine and dash. Like that's a thing that people do. I don't know how people do it because I would never have the nerve to do that. But basically, for anybody who has done it, I'm going to make you feel real bad right now. when you dine and dash, your server, at least where I worked, I still had to pay out on your table. And what that means is, you basically, whatever tips you get, at the end of the night, you're responsible for paying out your the bartender a percentage and the busboys a percentage because they technically don't get.
Can I just interject real quick?
Yes.
I hate tipping bartenders.
Yeah, especially if they're just grabbing you a beer.
You're literally pouring liquid. I understand. Okay, you're making
a cocktail, but still,
But still, you're literally pouring liquids, shaking it up, straining it.
I mean, a waitress is really just picking up
food. I know. I understand. And that's why I think the whole service industry.
It is a little weird.
Is weird and it doesn't work because a robot could literally do your food or a conveyor belt. You're literally taking an order, relaying the order, and then bringing a plate of food. There's no need to add a personality.
That's like the funniest thing. Like, remember we go to the sushi, the conveyor belt sushi restaurant? We still have to tip the girl that we saw like one
that
time.
Brings your drinks?
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
It's just a dumb ideology.
I'm telling you, it's because companies don't want to pay more to their employees. And that's why we're also in this issue where like the whole nobody wants to work.
I hate it. It's just dumb.
Yeah,
it's
companies don't want to do it. I understand the companies that are maybe like, this is not referring to like mom and pop shop type things where, but yeah, I just like, even for that, I don't know a solution, but big chain restaurants that don't want to do it. I'm pretty sure at the time I was making $2.50 an hour, $2.50.
Adding a human element.
Like they would give you your paycheck and you literally were not excited. You were just like, okay, what is this? Thanks. Like $20 for a month's worth of work. You make all your money in tips, but that's what sucks because you're at the mercy of customers who are usually terrible and not wanting to pay you, like, because everybody's struggling, number one. So like the last thing they want to do is like pay out more than they have to on a
for someone that's literally just carrying food over to them.
Yes.
It is not an impressive feat. It is impressive. Well, I shouldn't say that. It is when you have to work hard. Like I'm not saying that it's not a hard job. What I'm saying is it's a simple job that could very easily be replaced by, I don't know, just not doing it, having like, it just doesn't make sense.
It's weird. It's also weird that you would tip a waitress, but not a retail employee that helped you with stuff. Yeah. Like, I guess retail employees make, because I also did that job, but they make commit like a percentage of like, if you, no, I didn't even make a percentage. I had to hit certain sales goals.
Yeah.
And then I can make a bonus if I hit those sales goals. But if I was a little short, no bonus. But it's like, you're still doing the same thing. I'm still having like a conversation with a person. They're asking me for help. I'm giving them clothes. But like all that work, I don't get tipped for. But if I was just bringing food to and from a table, then I get tipped for that. It's just weird. It's weird. Like you can't have tipping in one customer service industry and not in another one. It's just weird.
It's also weird because like you want to provide jobs for people. Like it's good. You know, people need jobs. People need to work. But is this like, because I know it's a lot of people are, you know, in the service industry when working in restaurants, but
it's an important job. People need to do it. I don't think a robot can take. I mean, I've seen robots taking over bartending jobs already.
Yeah. But, I know, but it's also like, well, it's different. A bar is different because we like to go and like mingle and talk. But you were going, sorry, I interrupted before. You were talking about how you tip out people, you tip out your bartender.
Yes, you have to tip out the house, it's called. Yeah. So you tip out the bartender because they got you the drinks that your people ordered, basically. What's weird is you would tip out the bartender even if your table did not get alcohol, which was even weirder. Then the bussers, because they bus your tables, basically. And I don't think the hostesses got it. I forget. They may have gotten a small because they sat you for 2 seconds.
Here's a seat.
But, and I was also, I was going to say, I was like, I'm not putting down these jobs. See, I was a hostess. I was a waitress. I was a retail worker. I did all of it.
I'm not also not trying to belittle the job because I know they are hard jobs, but they shouldn't be hard. It's hard because we make them hard.
Yes. And the whole tipping thing is not on the wait staff. That is a business ish. Like it's something that like companies are responsible for.
Yeah.
Like none of this is like being mad at the wait staff for needing tips because it's not their
in
fault.
In reality, what you could do is go to a restaurant, you order your food, and then you walk up to the counter, get your food, and just get up to get your food. You don't need someone to do it for you. Like you could just go.
Yeah, like that's how well, like Tokyo has that. You could just, you place an order and it just like pops out in the thing.
Yeah. But I'm just saying to change all this up. But then again, like, I don't want to eliminate jobs, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's being done efficiently.
I told you, it needs to be paid out like any other customer service job.
Yeah.
You get a wage. And then if you go above and beyond, you can maybe get a small tip from somebody. But like your tip, people's kindness and generosity toward you should not decide whether you get a living wage or not.
Correct.
Because especially where I worked, like I said, I had a lot of people going there.
A lot of tourists.
A lot of tourists that A, either came from other countries and did not understand tipping and thus did not tip, and not saying that like it was on them. I mean, it kind of is on them because you should look up the custom. Like we learned in the UK that they don't tip and then thus we went with that custom. So if you're going to visit America, make sure that you understand you have to tip your customer service employees because they depend on that for their livelihood. But also we had people coming that like did not. This is the other thing that makes me mad. I love that this is turning into a rant of like me hating working in the restaurant industry. Coming from somebody who did this for a long time in multiple restaurants, but my most hated one was the Times Square one because that's where I saw the most messed up stuff. But anyway, yeah, you had tourists coming, you had people going there thinking that they were getting a cheaper meal than going anywhere else in New York City, and they were not. So in them feeling gypped by the corporation that I worked for, they ended up not tipping well because, of course, it's my fault, not the corporation that upped their prices. I had to work breakfast and lunch at this place. Now, breakfast is a very, very cheap meal compared to any other meal you can get there. You also cannot serve alcohol before 12 o'clock, and that's usually what brings up the price of your bill and thus your tip. So I was doing probably more work, if not the same work, during my breakfast shift than I was during dinner. And I made like half the amount of money and half the amount of tips doing the same amount of work. And like that drove me crazy. That's why nobody wanted to work breakfast, because nobody was buying alcohol. The meals were cheap.
When you told me that, whenever I go out for breakfast, I try to tip more because I feel bad for people.
Yeah, it's
because you get your bill, it's like $30. You're like, all right, well, if I went out for dinner, this would be like at least double.
Yeah,
and I'd be crazy. Getting drinks.
I get it, because breakfast is usually like a cheaper, you don't have as much ingredients, but like the person that's serving you is still doing the exact same amount of work.
Sometimes even more if you're getting multiple coffees and multiple drinks.
Yeah. So bringing this all back, when you don't tip or you tip under the percentage that you were supposed to tip on a bill. And I'm not saying if somebody was a terrible, gave you an awful experience, that then yes, as the rules of tipping that I don't agree with, like, don't worry about it. But if somebody was like fine or above, you should be tipping them a specific amount because that's their livelihood and that's what you accepted when you decided to go to a restaurant instead of eating at home.
Yeah, you're not just paying for the food, you're also paying for the experience.
And I've heard that like if you don't have enough money to tip your waiter or waitress, like what they're deserved on your bill, do not go out to eat.
And I bet a lot of people
order your food in or cook. Like don't.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
And I bet a lot of people go to a restaurant knowing they don't have the money to tip and will make it harder for the
wait, I bet you they do
that. For the service person so that they feel like they intentionally make it hard. And like, oh, I'm not going to trip you. You forgot something I lied
about. This went in a totally different tangent than I had first anticipated with this topic.
It's good though.
Yeah. But I will say just two little stories. The one finally making my point about when you stiff a waitress. I had a customer come in. I'll explain like why this is so bad. I had a customer come in, purposely sat right by the door, and ordered a beer. I was like, okay. So I brought him down a beer. He had another one. Keep in mind, our kitchen was upstairs and the bartender was upstairs. So if somebody placed an order and they were sitting downstairs, I had to walk up flights of stairs every time to go get that person like their alcoholic beverage or food. So I can't have eye, because that was one of their biggest rules, was have eyesight on your customers at all times, or have somebody looking at your customers at all times. I don't know how they thought that was happening with a two different floor system, but so basically I went up to get this guy a third beer, came down and he had disappeared. So I had to go, whenever somebody walks out and doesn't pay for something, you have to go tell the manager basically. And I told them, and I'm pretty sure now I'm thinking about it. I think he did make me pay for the beers that were missed because it was my fault.
What are you supposed to do? Like, what are you supposed to do?
But also, as like a 20-year-old like lady, am I gonna, like, small tiny person? What am I gonna do? Even if I was down there and saw this man leaving, what am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
Run outside and like confront this strange man?
That you're not supposed to. Like, you can't physically confront someone. That's,
but also,
like,
a retail worker isn't supposed to do that either.
No.
You can tell security
if someone's like stealing from a store. You are not, as a worker, you should not be liable to physically prevent them from doing that.
Yeah. So, like, even in that situation,
you're putting your life on the line.
It was a lose-lose situation at that point. Because, A, there was no way for me to see him at all times to even know what he was doing. And, B, if I did know what he was doing, what was I going to do? So, I remember that was, like, the day I decided to quit. Because we were together at that point. Because I came home crying because not only did I lose, I had to now pay out on this man's table with three beers that were like $20 a piece in New York City because he got like the tall boys. So I had to pay out the tip on that to the house, like to the bussers, the bartender, whatever. And I'm pretty sure I worked all day and made like next to nothing at the end of the day. And I was like, why am I working and making no money? This makes no sense. And that was the day I decided to quit. And I remember I came in like the next day and was like, I'm giving my 2 weeks. And they were like, why?
Why? Don't you love it here?
And I referenced that example and they were just like, oh, well, you know, like you're supposed, like basically putting it on me that happened and that it was my fault and that.
You're supposed to convince this person what they're doing is morally wrong.
No, there's something like very fundamentally wrong with this job if I worked all day and made close to no money. Like, why would I do that? So yeah, there was that. But I said, we went to visit my sister recently and a similar thing happened to this lady. She like came, they were understaffed. They told us that going in. So we were like, okay.
And
like,
their computer system was down.
Their computer system was down. But again, we're just like, totally fine.
Yeah, like,
we're
that's good to
you're
wait. Telling
like,
us,
you're letting us know
you're
in advance.
Giving us the option. We can leave, go somewhere else. Or like, hey, it's going to be a while. Okay, fine. We know. All good.
So, but we decided to wait because we had heard the place was really good and we weren't in a rush.
Yeah.
And so finally, like, the lady comes over and she's like close to tears or was crying or something. And she's like, I'm so sorry. She's like, we had two other employees like walk out today, which we found out like it was because they were sick, but she made it sound like they had quit on the spot. I was like, oh, damn. So she's like telling us that. She's like, I also just had knee surgery. Yeah. So I'm going to sit down. And she like sat down.
You forgot to say like that she had a table walk out on them.
Oh yeah, sorry. That was the cherry on top. Well, they were understaffed and then a table was, I guess, waiting so long that they just left and didn't pay their bill. So then she's like crying that she now has to pay their bill and whatever. And we were like, I don't know if that's right. But like now that I'm thinking back, I don't remember it. I don't remember if when my guy walked out, if I had to pay for it and tip out or if I just had to tip out on the house. So technically I lost money on that table. I don't think I had to pay for it.
Yeah, but she was like, I didn't make any money today. And I was just
She's basically like that she didn't make any money for the day. And it like brought back memories of that day when I realized that like that job wasn't worth it.
And she was like an older lady, not old, but like, you know,
like 50s, 60s.
Say 40s, 50s. And most of the other workers there were probably in their 20s and 30s. So she was probably the more like, she's there because she needs to be there. Whereas these younger kids, like, they don't need to be there as much.
It's just like a side job.
And like, yeah, there was the hostess who was not helping us, didn't bring us like the little like bread basket kind of stuff beforehand to kind of like help us out, or like wasn't helping out. So she was just overwhelmed and it sucked. And like, you know, we tipped her well. We felt bad.
Yeah, we tipped her more than we should have. But then we were joking. I was like, what if she... I was like, she would be the actress of the century if she... Because we heard her saying it to other tables. I was like, what if she just came in every day and said that whole story to people so she got more tips? I was like, I mean, she deserves it.
Tipping in cash?
You know why, right?
Well, they don't have to pay out on it, right? Or...
So you don't have to mark it in the... Well, it's a gray area. You're supposed to. If somebody tips you in cash, you're supposed... There's two things.
You can
You get it right away.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till like the end of the year. Or the end of the year. The end of... Could you imagine? The end of the day.
Yeah, or the paycheck, whatever.
Or the paycheck, or however they process it. But also, you can fib. So like...
If you gave 20, you'd be like, oh, they gave me 15.
Yes, because... as your shift goes on, when one of your tables is done, you have to go to the computer system and you say how much the total given was, how much the tip was. So the computer marks down how much tip you had. And at the end of the day, it gives you a printout of what you're supposed to tip out to the house based on how much tips it believes you got. So if somebody ran a credit card, you have to put that amount because it's going to see that it didn't match up.
And it doesn't go directly into their
pocket. But if you get cash, what you can do is put in what the like minimum percentage was.
Put in like 10%. So
if somebody gave you 20% and you put in 10%, then you only have to pay out on the 10%.
Good for them. Do it.
I mean, they get screwed enough. They/us got screwed enough. I'm happy that somebody, because I'm a very like, it was hard for me to do that. I didn't for the longest time. Like, I was very honest about what I got. Yeah. And then as I started realizing how like messed up the whole thing was, and like how I was getting screwed for things that were not my fault, then I started that it brought me to the dark side. I was like, you know what?
Well, it's just the
everybody's corrupt. I'm just gonna be corrupt too.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it probably wasn't much money that I had gotten like not had to tip out on, but also everybody was doing it. I will say, like, service workers are some of the are treated some of the meanest.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Customer service in general, I feel like people treat them horrible because usually it stems from them feeling like they have no power in their own lives. Yep. So to take it out on some like.
Because they know that they're.
Somebody they know they can.
Depends on how they treat them.
Yes. Yeah, basically. But like, I still have a very vivid memory of this woman that came with her, like, I think two children. I don't know if she was there with another adult. No, she probably was. I think it was her husband, and these two children. And she was like the nastiest woman. And I was the whole time trying to just be like happy,
fake,
whatever.
As possible.
And I had told her. So this is just a perfect example of like entitlement to the max. I came over, her whole food was of course, complained the prices were too high, which I have no control over.
You know
over.
What, so man, you know what? I feel bad for you. I'm going to lower those prices for you.
Yeah, right. I'll call corporate and I'll let them know that you didn't like
You're
the prices.
Right. They are too expensive.
You know what? Don't tip me out as much so that it evens it out. It's fine. I'll take the hit because I care. but like, yeah, she was just the meanest, like had nothing nice to say to me. From the start, I don't know what was going on with her, and her kids made a mess on the table because they were young.
How
and
young
it's
were
fine.
They? Like toddlers or little
no, kids? They were maybe like 6, 7, okay. 8, like old enough to know that you shouldn't be throwing food on the ground. But this lady just like did not care.
Yeah.
She was probably like, good, she'll clean it up. She just like hated me for some reason. So I came over. First of all, this is a low key chain restaurant. You are not at a fancy eating place. Let me just set the stage. I come over. And so I don't know if this is a New York City thing or just this chain thing, but you were not allowed to bring food back into the kitchen that has been eaten. So if you want to take something to go, we bring you a container out, as does many other restaurants that you will go to. It's a health code violation to bring food back. It's probably even more so now with like COVID protocols and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, I came out and I said she had food left. And I was like, oh, would you like a to-go box? And she was like, no, you should bring my food back and put it in a container. And I was like, ma'am, I can't do that. It's against like the health code. I was like, but I can bring you a box out. And like, I was like, do it that way. And she was like, she just like gave me the nastiest look. And she's like, you, she was like, she goes, I am not putting my food in a to-go container at this table. She was like, you will bring my food back and put it in a to-go container. So I brought it to the, I did not bring it back into the kitchen because I wasn't allowed. I brought it to the waiter's stand, which was probably way more disgusting than your table was. And I put it in the bin and I was like, gave it back. And after that, I just felt so low. I was like, really? Like, I just got bossed around to put this lady's food in a container. Like she's some sort of queen. I was like,
yeah, and then I wouldn't be able to do this job.
She didn't tip me. I was no so tip? Mad after all that.
Yeah, I would not.
I was so angry. I was like, there was a couple very memorable tables. That one, the guy that walked out that just like stacked up. You just reach a point where you're like, I can't do it anymore. I can't.
Yeah, I couldn't do this job.
So that's why I'm very warm and nice to wait staff now, because I understand.
Yep.
And I always tip.
Same.
Even if somebody's not that great, I still tip.
Even when
I don't, I feel
even
bad.
Before like the YouTube success, I've always been a good tipper because yeah. I know that it's a hard job and that this is their livelihood and it sucks. So like you said before, you have to go into a restaurant knowing you're going to spend more money than just the price of the food.
Yes. You need to account for that before you decide to go out to a restaurant.
Correct.
Otherwise, there's tons of ways that for you to order food now and get it brought to your house.
Yeah.
which I wonder if that even hurts the staff too, but I don't know, because there's less customers. Basically, the reason we wanted to do this topic wasn't for me to air out my grievances with my past customer service jobs. I could go on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, if people enjoyed it, let me know. We could have a whole like waitress episode. I have lots of stories. but we should get Olaf to tell us some stories.
Yeah.
if it doesn't hurt his livelihood of where he works now.
No, from what he's told me about his
we'll do a voice change
place of occupation, even if he said it, I don't think they would care.
That's
nor would
fair.
I think it would affect the business that he works at.
But yeah, so anyway, recently Bobby and I went to a Michelin star restaurant, which you, if you didn't know, because you're not like in that realm of caring about food.
I found out why it's called, it is the tire company Michelin.
Yeah, I know. I learned
and they
too.
Did it so that people would drive and know what restaurants to go to. And
yeah.
The star system was just how good the restaurant was.
Yeah. So back, that's crazy. Yeah. Back
the
when,
guy, they would
back when people would like drive
road
long,
trip.
Yeah. And, do road trips and you didn't have a phone to like look up what was around.
You had the Michelin guide.
Yeah. The restaurants wanted to be in the Michelin guide so that people would know they existed there so that you could go. And then, it evolved into being a Michelin star restaurant, which is like the highest.
Well, 3 stars, right? 3 star Michelin.
Is it?
I think it's 3.
Oh, I don't know.
I believe it's 3, which is the hardest to get.
Is that what Blue Hills?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we...
It's one of the top restaurants. It's not the best restaurant in the world, but it's definitely a top restaurant. Yeah.
So Bobby and I didn't really want anything for Christmas this year, and Bobby had the idea to get us a reservation at Blue Hill at Stone Barns in Tarrytown, New York, which the last time we were ever at was 2019. We've only been 2 other times, but it is a 3-star Michelin restaurant. It is very expensive. And very fancy and very delicious, but it's like a very special occasion type meal.
Yeah. It's not something you do frequently.
No.
I mean, you can if you're very well off.
If you're well off and want to spend 4 hours, at a 3 to 4 hours at a restaurant every day.
Yeah.
Or not every day, but more
however
often.
However often you'd go.
But it's one of those places it's kind of like an experience, and it's food and it's art all kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
But we went to that last week.
Yeah, last week.
And then we watched the movie The Menu, which I don't want to spoil because it's still new. And in case you want to, I will say if you are a fan of dark comedy or just like weird, dark things,
horror comedy.
Like I am. Yeah, it's great.
It is. It was really good.
It was really good. You just got to get past like the weirdness of it. But the meaning and symbolism behind it was really cool.
Yes.
But that like atmosphere and the chef and like some of the things they did was reminiscent of like
so we
Michelin
found,
restaurants.
Can I give like a brief history of how we got to go into these? So the first, we weren't really into like the whole fine dining experience until we went to our first course restaurant when we were in Ireland, right?
Was that the first time?
I believe it was. And it wasn't super fancy.
No.
It was like $80, I think, for like 3 to 4 courses.
Yeah.
It was like a pretty typical meal. It wasn't anything crazy. But we really enjoyed it because it's like a prefix course. You're not picking what you want.
I do remember it was really good.
It was just very good. And that kind of was like dipping our toe into like the more fine dining course menu tasting stuff. So from there, and then somehow I stumbled across, can't think of the name of it, on Netflix.
Chef's Table.
Chef's Table. Came across Chef's Table, saw Blue Hill at Stone Barns, and I just like.
Yeah, we were like, we live near there.
Saw we live there, got really into it, was like fascinated by like the message of it and everything. And we went our first time in what, 2018? It must have been.
I think so.
Yeah, it must have been around 2018.
For our anniversary, I think?
Yes. Well, we went, yes, the first time. No, it was either your birthday or anniversary. It was your birthday. But we went and it was insane.
Yeah.
It was, so it's built on the old dairy farm of the Rockefellers. So it's a whole farm. They grow their own food. They do all their own beef and protein and vegetables. They do as much stuff as grown there on premises as possible. They have their own bakery. It's just insane. So you go in, it's super nice. Very fancy, like you're supposed to have it, like guys are supposed to wear
like
a jacket. There's a dress code. They're not super strict about it. It is more like relaxed than other places, which is very nice, more comfortable. But I do remember our first time going being extremely like intimidated by it.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like
we were not prepared for
it. And I feel like this time we went, it felt a lot more laid back.
Yeah, I think they've changed.
Because I feel like the first time we went, it was just like so like proper.
Yeah, there's elegant. Way too much food.
So the first time we went, it must have been like over 30 courses.
Yeah, it was crazy. I felt like I was going to die. It did not feel good at the end.
Because when people hear like tasting menus, they think you're getting like a tiny little bite of things, which
you do
sometimes you do. But this place brought like every vegetable that they had. And it's the greatest, best vegetables you've ever tasted. And you're eating everything. You're like, oh my God, this is so good. I spent so much money. I want to like get my fill. By the time you get to what they call dinner, we were full. They brought us outside to the patio where they grilled a pork and beet hot dog, which was 60% beet and 40% pork, with like a bun and everything. Like they had the like condiments there, like mustard and all the homemade stuff. And it was amazing. And then the guy brought us back in. He's like, are you guys excited for dinner? We're like, what have we been eating?
Yeah, we were so confused.
Like all, then we got all like the main courses and protein and fish and like
I feel
beef
like I
looked at you
I was like I think we did this wrong yeah. Like we didn't we were
and by this everything. Time like I was super stuffed and then they bring dessert which was like six courses
yeah, crazy.
And the funniest thing is I'll never forget it, they come over with like a little pie and it was green and he goes and usually what they do is they bring something over and they tell you what it is and maybe like explain a little story of how they came about it, whatever. So they came over and they put it on the table and they go pea pie. And I'm like, excuse me? And the guy goes, pea pie, and walks away. And it was a pie made out of peas. And it was excellent. It was amazing.
It had just one little pea on top.
But I was so full that I couldn't eat anymore by the time dessert came. And they came over, like they asked, like, oh, is everything good? I'm like, honestly, I'm just so full. I can't eat anymore. But then we went again in 2019. So it must have been like a year later. And I was like sick at the time. I had like a sinus infection. So it was a little dulled of an experience for me. But what
so
was,
this was like your prime experience
because of the
last couple of days.
What was cool, though, is that we got to go into the kitchen. Like, so every time you go, I guess they give you like a little experience or they call it like a little field trip. So we got to go into the kitchen and try like something they were like experimenting with.
And you got to see
the kitchen.
Organized
which is,
chaos.
But like.
Like
no people aren't yelling.
Yeah,
everyone has a job.
Silent. Everybody knows what they're doing.
There's like very minimal communication. It's just
it's awesome.
It's really cool
to
see.
It's like people working at like peak capacity at like their highest degree. It's like very if you ever get the chance to see like a fine dining kitchen, it's insane.
You just gain an appreciation for seeing like the culinary experience at its peak, at its best. Like these people are, you know. They're incredible at their craft.
Probably to get there.
Everyone is doing very specific things. It's really cool. So we got to try pawpaws, which is something I was familiar with before, but we got to like see they were showing us different kinds and how they're experimenting with it. And like they want your feedback, which is really cool. This time we went was by far the best. We actually got there early, which was their fault because they emailed me and said to come at 3 because they have a tour, which we hadn't done before. And they're like, oh, that's for the weekend. You're actually supposed to come at 4. So we just sat in like the little lobby bar area, which is completely fine. There was a fire and they gave us like a, what was it? A beet cider. Beet cider, which was phenomenal.
It was so good. It doesn't sound, it's funny when they tell you things, you're like, that doesn't sound good. Yeah. And then you eat it. You're like, oh, this is phenomenal. It's,
everything just tastes but so just, great and yeah, clean and pure.
To summarize, their biggest thing is trying to help farms be
sustainable
and more profitable because yeah. a lot of them are struggling for obvious reasons. Like they're the thing I appreciate about like places like that specifically is that like America is so mass produced at this point that there's a lot of misconceptions about like eating and what's good for the environment and stuff, which they even pointed out like that, which I've started learning too, because there's always this debate that like meat is bad for the environment, like the raising of meat is bad for the environment. But now I've been starting to learn that also like more plant-based stuff is also starting to become bad for the environment because of what it takes to
because you're monocropping and you're destroying the soil.
So their big thing was like a lot of their meat products are like Bobby said, 40% meat and the rest is either grain or vegetable, and you can't even tell. Yeah. Like they gave us a piece of sausage and then they told us later that it was only 40% meat.
Yeah,
and I would have never known if they would.
And it was their grass-fed cows that they have there.
Yeah.
At
and
the
they
farm.
Said they've learned that that it's more sustainable and better for the environment to like pasture raise.
Yeah.
Cows, not
raise
in
what you
factory
can.
Farms. Yeah. And then
give the animals
out,
a good life.
Yes.
The best life they can for being, you know, food essentially.
Well, it's because factory farms try to make as much profit
pump
as possible.
Pump them full of like
hormones
and.
Yeah. Whereas this is more about sustainability, not profit.
Exactly.
Which is nice. But that's what they said. Like they said the restaurant alone, even though the restaurant is expensive, it doesn't sustain them. The only reason it's expensive is because there's only like a limited amount of the like crops that they can produce at its highest quality and peak. But they said they also like donate a lot of food, which was awesome, to co-ops and stuff. Mm-hmm. They teach farmers that like
they work with farmers.
They work with local farmers to like use some of their produce that they otherwise would have thrown away and made nothing from.
That's the coolest thing is what often a lot of some of the food that we have. It will be a byproduct of another food. So one of the things that we've had a couple times there is sunflower marrow. So it's the stalk of the sunflower that they use to make almost like a peanut butter. It's creamy and super tasty. It tastes similar to peanut butter. Incredible. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Or like this past time they were using like grapes that would have been thrown away.
Yeah. So they talked about, so when they make a wine, they take some of the grapes off the vine so that it allows the other grapes to grow more fuller,
quicker.
But what they would do is they would just take those grapes and throw them away essentially, but they learned to make verrouche out of it, which is a non-alcoholic grape drink. And it was incredible, super tasty.
And they use it for cooking. And it was just very cool. You also get experiences like they literally gave us a piece of spinach, like raw spinach just gave us a piece of it.
With very minimal seasoning.
With I think just salt.
Yeah.
And I ate it and it was one of the best tasting things.
Yeah.
So it's just so sad that like, that's what their other thing is too. They like just making the vegetable itself flavorful.
Yes.
Like if you grow it under specific conditions, the way that it's supposed to be grown, it will taste delicious.
And what's cool about with them and their cattle and other animal products that they raise is that they found out that they're actually carbon positive, which was very interesting. Remember, he was telling us about that they're actually carbon positive. So if things are done better, we could, you know, our food and our system could be better, but that's just not the way our food system is.
Did you bring up your point?
Okay, so now that we talked about it. So when we were
I will say that the one, I won't even say we're pretentious about it. We literally, if the one like higher class, more expensive thing that we do enjoy now that we have money to enjoy it, is fine dining.
Yeah.
But like literally everything else in life, I could not care less. Like, yeah. Give me like the cheapest, easiest, whatever.
Yeah, we don't buy crazy food, cars or yeah. clothing or shoes or whatever.
Or even our house.
Yeah, like, even we're pretty we live modest.
Well, very much below our means.
Below our means.
Because we just don't care about yeah. like that stuff. But food is one thing that I'm very like.
Now I will say,
or even art, like art, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like it's cool, but like I'm not into it. Wine, it's cool, but I'm not like a pretentious person. But like food, I find is so interesting.
Especially when you're also paying for the experience. So
yeah,
I will say yes, because I know my one friend Justin, who is in urban agriculture, and we talk about this, and he's like, "Oh, I eat all this stuff. I grow all this stuff." And I will say that yes, you can grow, eat, have all this food, and not pay an insane amount of price. But going there, going to this restaurant is an experience that
you're, it's kind of like dinner and a show combined.
In a way. But when you go there, every single waiter and wait staff, everyone that works there loves the job. They're passionate about it. There's no tipping. You pay everything up front. Yeah, there's no tipping.
That's why they're all happy and they like it there.
Everything there is, they're there to work there because they love the place. They're getting paid a good wage.
Yeah. And it's honestly the nicest. Yeah, and you get treated so nice.
Yeah,
and like
this time I felt, I don't know if it was because maybe the other patrons there were different. Like, you know, we're mid-30s. You don't see a lot of like younger people going to these kind of experiences.
Yeah, I think we were the youngest people there.
Sure, we were the youngest. There was like, there was that group, that other group that was there with that girl and those three guys there. They were older. They were probably in their 40s, whatever. But I don't know if like, because we're more appreciative of having this experience.
Yeah, just experience. Everything is like amazing.
Everyone there was like super nice. The past couple times through there wasn't as much conversation that we had with all the wait staff and people who'd bring the food and whatnot. This time we were talking more and like really just, felt super comfortable and everyone was nice there. It didn't feel fake. They weren't having to work for their tips. They have that passion there for working there. But when you go to like a chain restaurant there's no passion. Those people are there to make a paycheck.
Yeah, you have to, yeah, your work and live at those places.
Exactly.
Whereas this is more of like a career. Like you might have worked your way up to that point to work there.
Yeah. So when you, that's what I was trying to like kind of tie together is that we go to these, well, we've gone to these couple times, these incredible fine dining experiences, and you get to see what it's like at its peak. Not only the food, but the service, just the atmosphere is just incredible. But when you go to like a chain restaurant, you have to lower your expectations and realize that these people aren't passionate about the food. They're not there to, they don't, I'm sure most people don't give a crap about
how you're. I was going to say, but there's people who would not care, do not care about fine dining whatsoever.
I know.
Which I get, it's fine. Well, it's like everybody has a preference.
Yes. Yeah. You just have to understand, like, no one, when you go to a restaurant, a chain restaurant, whatever it may be, mostly chain restaurants, because they're small, like mom and pop type shops, or just small restaurants where people love and they care about the food there, like the place we used to go to around here, that was like the small place.
Yeah.
That was like, they cared about it and you could tell that people cared. But
I think people who like own their own businesses care a little bit more. And they usually have some sort of like more family.
Yes.
Usually.
That's what we need more of. We need more mom and pop shops.
Well, it's funny.
Less.
That's like when
corporate.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Chain restaurants.
Well, they keep saying like millennials are killing chain restaurants. Like it's some sort of bad thing. But it's like if millennials don't want to go to like, I don't know, Chili's or Applebee's or whatever. Like
Fridays.
Why is that
Outback.
Bad? Like if you're not providing something that people want.
It's just mass produced food. You either got a chain. Food.
Yes. And having worked at
a chain restaurant. They're buying their food at the cheapest possible point they can.
A lot of their food is already like pre-made.
Frozen. When you go to like a mom and pop shop and you might pay what, $10 more for something, but you're getting, ideally it's, you know, it's fresh, handmade, homemade, etc. So I think that's just like,
that's like the place, near here that we go to.
Yeah.
That's like, it's nicer, but it's not like super expensive.
Yeah, so for,
they talk about like, he was talking about like his purchaser that goes to farm
yep.
to get stuff. Like
there's a restaurant that's like 10 minutes from us that we went to for Lauren's birthday this year. And we did the course tasting menu. So Blue Hill this time was about, it was like 20, 25 courses.
Yeah.
Then we went to another one earlier this year, about a quarter of the price probably.
Well, it was also smaller.
It's smaller. Six courses, including dessert.
Yeah.
We sat right at, like, it was like a bar seating right in front of the kitchen. It's a small place. And the chef was young and he came out and we kind of like got friendly and talked with him. And it was still a very cool experience. So you don't have to go to like this crazy Michelin starred restaurant to have that experience. Find like your local.
Just find a restaurant where it seems like the people, care
about. If you ever are able to experience a course chef's tasting menu and it's within your budget.
If you're open to try, because I know a lot of people that are not open. Because when it's a course menu, you don't pick anything.
Yeah.
You can tell them if you have an allergy.
Yeah, an allergy or if
something
you
really don't like.
Lauren doesn't like raw fish. So we told them that up front. So we didn't have to worry about because the first time we went, we didn't say that. And there was like
a raw fish
thing. So I ate it because she didn't want to. But yeah, we went to this less, fancy restaurant and it was incredible. Just they talk to you about the food and like how they get it and how they source it and why they make this deal. And it's usually fresh seasonal ingredients. And it was incredible. Awesome experience. Recommend it if you can do it. You don't have to go crazy with it, but if you have the opportunity to see it and just to experience that like level of care put into food is what I was trying to say.
Or even just try to grow your own. I try to grow my own sprouts now. Yeah. Those are really easy. If you want to look that up, literally all you need is a mason jar and some sprout seeds and you can do it. I got like an aero garden just because I always forget now with a toddler and work to water my plants, but which I have to get going again. But even that, like getting basil growing and then cutting that basil and using it on stuff is like, I don't know. For some reason, it makes better. Because you're like, I grew this.
Yeah, you know where it's coming from.
I know where it's coming from. I know that it was taken care of. I know that that the conditions were met for it to be good and not, and it didn't hurt anybody. That's like the one pretentious thing I really like. Wine, you can give me like a $5. That's like,
but I think we're going.
That's the best part, I will say. So when we go to, when we went to this place, obviously there's a lot of people that go there that are like wine connoisseurs and really care about wine and whatever. And so I was just like, can I just get a Riesling? Like whatever Riesling you have. And they're just like, yeah, sure. It's from Germany. It's delicious. I'm like, great, perfect. And they always come over and they do the thing where they like, tell you a little bit about it and then they pour it into your wine glass and they let you taste it. But I never know if you're supposed to because I see some people that like swirl it or like let it sit. Never know what to do. I'm just like,
so I believe, and why I do it, so like with like alcohol, or you almost want to like warm up your palate.
Yeah.
So you want to like, all right, I'm smelling this wine, I'm getting ready. We're not going in from like your normal taste to all of a sudden, boom, you're getting hit with this.
But also, it's a waste for me because even if I did not like it, I will never say it.
Really?
I would. Yes.
I would. If you got a wine that was horrible,
I'm bad at sending
people. That's the point of you trying it. This is at just fancy restaurants too.
So. I know, but in general, I'm just, if I eat something and I don't like it, I will never, ever send it back. I will never, unless it is raw. I will never, I'd be like, oh, well, bad decision on my part.
Yeah, but you got the wine. The wine was.
I hated this dish. Can I get something else? That's not me.
The wine you did have was very, very good.
It was very good. So I got lucky. That's why I always just order the same wine. I'm like, I usually like this type of wine. Just give me whatever that is. But I always love when there's always this moment of panic where I'm like, it's like imposter syndrome. I'm like, he's going to know that I don't do fancy things. I also really like the fact, I want to move on to the creepy part, but I also love the fact, I was going to point out that what I was wearing there, one of the cheapest outfits I owned, going to like a really expensive, and nobody would have any idea.
Don't matter.
My skirt was from Amazon. I think it was like $12.
Meanwhile, I had a custom-made suit on.
Yeah, I was. That's just me, though. I don't need to spend a bunch of money on stuff, except for food, apparently. That's all I care about. I have a fun game.
Game?
To end the podcast with that everybody can play.
Let's game.
But the only answers we're going to hear is us. So I was looking up scary stories, and instead of doing the obvious, like I found a hand in my food one time or whatever, which I did, I found some that were like, I found a fake fingernail in my burger and like all this stuff. We know it happens. Let's just pretend like for a second that it doesn't.
Move on.
Like going to restaurants and finding weird stuff in your food. I thought it would be more fun to play a game where I'm going to tell you about some of the creepiest restaurants in the world that actually exist. And then we're going to say whether we would actually eat there or not. I feel like your answer is going to be like, sure.
Probably yes for everything.
I don't know. I don't know about this first one.
I wonder if, well, we'll go. There's one restaurant experience that I would not do.
I wonder if it's this first one.
Go ahead. Does it have to do
so
with...
So everybody can play. You can let me know. Heights? You can let me know if you... Yes. Oh, you can let me know if you would go to this one of these or if you ever have for some reason. You let me know. There's one I really want to go to. But the first one is called Dinner in the Sky.
Pass.
And it's in Belgium. And it's serving a 5-course meal at about 160 feet in the air on a free-floating table. And I looked it up and it's like...
Yeah, I've seen these.
It's like hanging from a crane.
You're sitting
basically.
In almost like a computer seat.
Yeah, you're strapped in.
You're strapped like a roller coaster.
Like a roller coaster. It's 22 diners and you're strapped into your chair, which is then elevated and lets you experience the cityscape. The diners are also asked to sign a $10 million insurance waiver before getting into one of the chairs. This restaurant has branches all over the world.
Big pass. Hard pass. No, thank you.
I also don't think I would want
to. I would rather just be in a tall building and look out.
Yeah, very fair.
Nothing
I can get that
about
same
this
experience.
Adds to the experience. What if you have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's true.
Nothing
what
that I can
do?
Think
you have
of.
To tell everybody
nothing that I can think
down.
Of makes any lodge. That's just a very impractical experience. I get it. It's cool to be in the air. If you like that kind of stuff.
Some people like
cool. It. Good. Go do it. Me, personally, hard pass. Would never do that. Like, if I was at, like, a bachelor party with all my friends and they wanted to go do that, I would say no.
Wow.
I would 100%. There would have to be a lot of enticing reasons to go. If, like, the food was insane or something, but...
What if you dropped your food?
I just... There's something? So many things that... I don't like heights to begin with.
Maybe everything's strapped into the table.
I don't care. I don't want to do this. It could get windy. It could get... Like, there's so many...
Oh, I bought us tickets already.
Return them.
Yeah, that's also one that I'm not.
Pass.
I would rather, like that place in Vegas that we saw that's at the top of that building.
That's
that
fine.
It spins around. Like, I would do that. That's the same experience to me. And I'm inside and am not exposed to the elements. Like, what if it...
Yeah, I don't want to be exposed to the elements.
What if it's windy or it rains?
Birds come around.
It's hot. Like, yeah, no thanks. Birds. You get attacked by birds in the air.
Yeah.
No thanks.
That's a pass.
So this next one's called the new Lucky Restaurant in India. When new Lucky owner Krishnan Kuti was faced with the fact that the land he was to open his new restaurant on was in fact a cemetery, he decided to capitalize on the dilemma. Instead of paving over the graves or disinterring them, I guess like that means moving them, Kuti simply built his restaurant around them, actually making the burial plots the main attraction. Steel bars have been erected around the graves so that no one will tread on the deceased. But other than that small protection, the dead are your dinner companions. No one is even sure who the graves belong to, but the prevailing theory is that they belong to Muslim followers of a 16th century Sufi saint. The displayed graves in the restaurant are not meant to be disrespectful or overtly morbid either. In fact, Kuti claims that eating in the presence of the dead is good luck, or at least it has been for him, as his business has flourished as a popular local hangout for more than over a decade.
Oh, wow.
Each morning, the graves are cleaned and fresh flowers are placed near them out of respect.
Yeah, I'd eat there. That'd be fine. I have no problem.
They also
that.
Said they have some of the best, I think it's palak paneer, which isn't that one of your favorite? Like,
I mean, I love Indian cuisine, so I would.
I'm not a huge fan. I wish I was. I do love coconut curry is one of the, but it's really bad for you.
Yeah.
Like it's very high in fat and calories and stuff. So it's like a comfort meal.
I mean, I like it. You know,
I feel like whatever. Oh, that's what Nissi made. I was going to say our friend knows how to make like authentic Indian cuisine and she, I think it was coconut curry.
For that restaurant, because it was done intentionally to work with the grave and dead I think I wouldn't feel bad about it as long as it's
I'd
not like
go. I mean, to be fair, wouldn't you rather like if you were a dead person in a grave, wouldn't you rather people be like taking care of your headstone?
That's what
and
they're
placing
also like
flowers and you're in the
upkeeping it and, you know, almost like
I was going to say you're
celebrating
in the presence.
It a
yeah.
little bit. Not,
I don't know if you're still technically there. Nobody does. But if you were technically in those gravestones, at least like you have people you can hang out with.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. That's fine.
Yeah. I did look it up. It is barred. So you literally like can't step anywhere where the actual bodies would be. So you're not like walking on them. But I feel like that's more respectful than moving them or paving over them. That would have been terrible.
Yeah.
And they would have been haunted. Maybe that's why he got good luck. Maybe the spirits were like, thank you for not moving for not us. For your business will thrive. Okay, this is the place that I actually want to go to. It's called Dan's Le Noir. And it's in New York City, but there's a couple different locations now. In August 2012, this Parisian, I think, restaurant chain introduced America to its unique brand of blind fright in a pitch black New York City dining room.
I think I've seen this,
yeah. Light emitting cell phones are not allowed and menus are a mystery. The kitchen cuts all elements of the unknown meal into small bite-sized portions because you can't see, so you can't do like cut the food. Most unsettling of all, ghosts sit elbow to elbow at a 70-
Ghosts? You become a ghost? You mean guests?
Yeah, they kill you and then this is
your... And you enjoy your meal?
Guests sit elbow to elbow at a 72-person communal table.
I don't like that.
To encourage socializing with total strangers in a cavernous, unlit space.
All right. I don't like that.
You would have to sit with other people.
They have to sit elbow to elbow with people you can't see just to like force you to talk to people. I don't love that. I like the dining aspect of
it. Yeah, so it's supposed the whole point is that
it heightens your senses. Heightens
your smell and your taste. Yeah. And kind of like when somebody tells you you're about to eat chicken, you already like
start like
salivating. If somebody tells you you're about to eat chicken and they give you a banana, let's say, like you would be disgusted.
Yeah.
But even though it's a banana. So like, I feel like it'd be so interesting to just not know what something is before I'm about to eat it. And then just get the experience of that. It's kind of like, the YouTube videos where they like blindfold you and put something you're supposed to guess what it is off taste alone.
I like aspects of that.
The wait staff wears night vision to like,
oh, that's cool.
Cause they have to come around.
That's
and
funny.
Do stuff. I would go to it.
Yeah, I'd feel a little uncomfortable in there.
I wish it was separated. Maybe there's some places like this, but you have your own table. That would be cool.
That I would be more inclined to do that.
Okay.
But if you went to there with like a group of people, that'd be pretty cool.
It's like hard. I'm gonna rent it out for my birthday.
But also like when you go to that, it's hard if I don't like sitting so close to people because it's hard to talk to. Well, it's hard to talk to someone.
Yeah.
It's so loud. Like we've done that before in this.
Well, we did it at a wedding and that was not ideal because I literally could only talk to like the person in front of me kind of and the person next to me.
But also we've gone to like small restaurants in the city where it's communal or like super like close.
Oh yeah,
we
went to that pizza place the one time.
Yeah, and it's just not ideal. I get it. Like you're fitting more people in there, but no.
I wonder if they can't do it now because of like
COVID stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, the next one is in Italy. Fortezza Medicia. Located within a 500-year-old fortress near Pisa, this 120-seat restaurant also happens to be a maximum security prison. What? The menu of southern Italian favorites like fennel frittatas and nona catosa is prepared and served by convicted murderers armed robbers, many of whom originally hail from Puglia, Naples, and Sicily. Meals are accompanied by classical piano, courtesy of one musically inclined convict, and patrolled by 20 wardens. At first, I was like, okay, convicted convicts, like, if they're the non-violent crime ones, yeah, sure, like, that's fine.
This is a pass. There's plenty of great places to eat in Italy. I don't need to go eat food.
I don't think I'd feel comfortable being served by people who had murdered other people.
Nope. Pass. Hard pass.
If it was like, a non-violent crime, sure, that's cool. Like, they get to work and do something while they're in there. But like, people who legitimately murdered people are just like, I would just not feel comfortable.
I wouldn't feel comfortable when it would ruin the dining experience.
And you just see wardens wandering by and be like, why are they here though? If you guys aren't going to do anything, why is there an armed warden right there?
Pass.
All right.
One for two?
Sure. Yeah, you would only maybe do the dark one. And it was only if you had your own table.
I wouldn't love the communal aspect, but I would, the eating in the dark would make up for it.
Okay, this next one's a hard pass for me, but it's the modern toilet restaurant in Taiwan. And affinity for toilets would be a nice thing to have upon stepping through the doors of this establishment whose tableware and dishes resemble commodes. According to the restaurant's website, the owner claims his inspiration for the cozy eatery originated from a robot character in a Japanese cartoon who loved to play with poop and swirl it on a stick. Fortunately, actual poop on a stick is nowhere near the menu. There is a wide variety of dishes, though, from spaghetti meals to sub sandwiches to a list of, in quotes, crappy items, which include the poop stuffed pancake and toilet chicken nuggets.
Pass. That's super gimmicky. That
I have seen this before. I've seen pictures of it. And you literally get served like brown soups in like toilet bowl containers.
This is disgusting.
I don't understand.
No, thank you.
I just don't like, I don't think I could like get around it.
There's no,
I don't think my brain would separate.
Nothing about that is enticing. Nope. Pass. Next. Hard pass.
Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas, Nevada. Oh,
I've heard about this place.
Yeah, I've watched a documentary on it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
A hospital-themed restaurant where the founder says, I tell everybody, don't come here every day of the week. It will kill you. By the way, if you ever look up YouTube videos on this guy, he's like a crazy person. The guy that owns this is crazy. The menu consists of such delicacies as the octuple bypass burger, which you can add 40 bacon slices to. Oh. 40 pieces of bacon on top of. You can also buy a 3.4 ounce shot of liquor and cigarettes. Yeah. And then it says, yes, like no filter cigarettes that are $8.31.
So people are smoking in there?
I don't know if they can smoke in there, but you can buy the cigarettes in there. Servers don nurse and doctor costumes, and customers, or patients in quotes as they're referred to, are to wear hospital gowns while ingesting their meals. And yes, customers have actually had heart attacks there. Oh, there is even a scale outside, and if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
God. All right, I'll go to this place because you can control what you're eating. And
it's mainly a burger place.
Yeah, I would go there. I wouldn't indulge to the heart attack extremes. But
if I had to go, I would, but I also don't want to because I feel like it just encourages that.
Yeah.
It's basically a place that's the epitome of, I don't care what I do to my body.
Yeah.
If I want to smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, and eat bacon myself to death, I can, which I guess is fine. You do you.
Yeah.
But like also not good to do. Like I don't, it's kind of like making a mockery of people
who just abuse food.
Who are unhealthy and thus like have heart attacks or have other diseases that kill them.
Yeah.
And you're encouraging people to be like, if you're 350 pounds or more, you eat for free.
No, I don't like that.
It's like encouraging people to not.
I'm going to pass on this.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
I kind of want to know what the burgers taste like. Like, is it that
good? Yeah, I would go and like,
is it good enough to get a heart attack over? Like, I don't
probably
know.
Probably not. I'm sure it's not.
I kind of want to know that. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's the epitome of like mocking. It's kind of like the epitome of like what some people think America is.
Yeah.
Like, let me do what I want.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Which I guess I'm always on the line. I'm like, sure. Yeah.
You're free to eat
do
how
whatever
you want,
but also like, I don't want to encourage you to do things that are going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
It's kind of that mentality. So I don't know. I'm torn on it.
Yeah. No, thanks.
I got two more. There's the Neo Taimori in Tokyo, Japan. You get a fake naked body of a woman that's made of food and laid out on a table in front of you, and then they put sushi on it.
Okay.
I do know that there's restaurants where you can eat sushi off a real naked person, which I also don't understand and don't think I would enjoy.
That's definitely like a male power thing.
That's so weird. Do they still do that? That's
terrible. I'm sure.
Can you eat it off a man? Or is it only women?
If you want to, I'm sure.
I don't know if that would make it better for me, but like, but anyway, this is not a real woman. It's a woman made of food, and diners can cut open the woman's body with an operating tool and then eat the intestines and organs, which are edible. While the woman would bleed fake blood and edible blood, diners can gorge on the assortment of sushi and sashimi arranged across.
This is in Japan?
This is in Japan.
I'd rather go to like a legit sushi spot.
I don't understand who this is for.
There's,
cereal kit
people. Just crazy people.
People who want to know what it's like to pretend eat somebody. Like, I don't know. Pass. I saw a photo of it and I was like, I don't get it. No. I don't get how this is appetizing whatsoever. The sushi, sure. But like,
yeah, but if you're going there to eat sushi and whatever this like body and stuff is made out of, I'm sure isn't like delicious.
I like that you're turning down. I thought you were going to be like, I'd try it.
No, because there's no need to go. Like, there's nothing special about it. If you're telling me
there's nothing special about it, you can eat a person.
I don't have any desire to eat a person. But if you told me this is the best sushi in the world, I would go.
Okay.
If it's just...
But it's just regular. It's regular, the experience is the whole part.
Yeah, I have
it,
no... none of that experience is something.
You're
I
all about do. The food. You don't care about the experience.
No, I do care about the experience, but I don't want to eat a person. I don't want to eat my food in the sky. I don't want to be bumping elbows with people while I'm trying to enjoy my meal.
Okay.
I don't want to eat poop.
Okay. Maybe this, I don't think this last one you're going to want to do God. Either.
What do
it's
we got?
It's called the Disaster Cafe.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's in Spain. It's a spacious room that simulates an earthquake of 7.8 magnitudes every night. The restaurant staff wear protective headgear and reflective vests. The customers, on the other hand, get nothing special to wear. The violent movement induced by artificial earthquakes sends wine glasses and meals flying. I don't know why this exists as I'm reading it. I guess it just gets people in. That's why I'm always worried about gimmicky restaurants, because I'm like, okay, their food isn't the reason why people are coming in, so they have to make some other weird thing the reason why people are coming.
Is that it?
That's it. It's the Disaster Cafe. So you get to live through an earthquake while you eat.
That's nothing I've ever wanted to do. Pass.
It reminded me of, you know, like Mars 2112. I don't think it's still there. In New York City, it would like simulate going to Mars, and then you would like go there.
Yeah.
And there'd be aliens.
This is like taking
around.
Like the Rainforest Cafe thing and like, why don't we have earthquakes? Why don't we eat poop? Why don't we eat dead people?
I just love who thought of that. They were like, you know what I really enjoyed? That one time where I was eating and there was an earthquake.
I like shaking while I'm eating and all my stuff falls all over. I love
it. The food tasted better when I was fearing for my life. Yeah. So
the fear heightens the food.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we just don't know. Maybe it's that. Yeah. It all connects. It's the fear of heights, the fear of darkness, the fear of... What do we got? Earthquakes, the fear of eating a person.
Fear of poop.
The fear of dead people, and the fear of poop. Yeah, there you go. That's the one common denominator. You heard it here first. Fear helps things taste better.
Pass. What was the one thing that I liked?
The dark one was the only one.
Was that the only good one?
Yes.
What was the second one?
Oh, the dead body one.
Oh, no, not the dead body. The graveyard.
Yes, the graveyard one.
Yeah.
The palak.
Again, if the food's good.
Yes.
Not if
they
just
said
like,
it was some of the best palak paneer. So there you go. That's fine. Your incentive. Well, you let me know. And by you, I mean the people listening. What restaurants you would go to, if
good
any.
Luck.
Oh, if you said the Heart Attack Grill. You would also try a burger there.
Yeah, I would go, but I don't love.
But you wouldn't.
I don't love it. Have you been to one of these places? Leave us a voicemail or a text and let us know how it was.
Yeah. Please let
don't
me know.
Lie.
Let me know if fear,
I will know.
Let me know if fear makes food taste better. I'm really curious.
Welcome to the hostage restaurant where we take you hostage, we hold a gun to your head, and we force you to eat your food. Don't worry.
Oh my God.
The guns are loaded with real bullets.
Also, convicted murderers.
Yeah, convicted murderers are the ones.
But
holding.
Don't worry. We got wardens there. They'll keep you safe. I can't. That was the other one. That was the jail one. So the fear of convicted murderers being there.
Just go to Blue Hill. Save all your money and go to Blue Hill.
Yeah, there was nothing scary at Blue Hill, so.
It was awesome.
Except for maybe getting too full too fast. It was the scariest thing there.
Wow, that was fun.
Yeah.
Fun game.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to say yes to most things.
I did too. You surprised me. But I guess me reading that as I was reading them, I was like, yeah, who?
I don't need some of these experiences. Well, remember, Lauren.
Yeah. Oh, everything is creepy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bon appetit.